Matthew chapter 8, and I want to mention something there, and then go on to Mark chapter 1. So look at Matthew 8. We stopped in Matthew chapter 4 when our Lord told his disciples that he would come and make them fishers of men. And then Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to come back to the Sermon on the Mount another time. If we start the Sermon on the Mount, we'll get to Matthew 8 next year sometime. The Sermon on the Mount must be taught to Christians because Jesus told his disciples, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I commanded you. That's the Great Commission. Which means that the Sermon on the Mount has to be taught to Christians because Jesus taught it to his disciples. Anyone who teaches you that the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to Christians today does not understand the Bible nor the gospel of Jesus Christ and is harming you in some way. I'll come back to it, so don't think I'm skipping over it completely. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, gives the account of Jesus healing the leper. And this evidently occurred right after he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, even though the Sermon on the Mount is not reported in this place in the Gospel of Mark. Simply means Mark chose not to report it at this time. But in Mark chapter 1, we have a fuller account of the leper being healed in verse 40. Mark 1:40. So hear the word of God. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that we have these marvelous gospels that tell us the truth about Jesus. Though they are written by different men, they all teach the same thing, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior, and that he is Lord. We ask that you would help us to see this in the way that he taught on earth and the way he related to those who came to him. Here is a leprous man coming to Christ. And what do we see him doing with him? But helping him. And we ask that you would help us to believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is gracious and willing to receive all who come to him as they are. Help us to believe in this so that all who are present may know that they may come to Christ and be received, the children and the adults. Help us to learn something about Jesus Christ this morning. For we pray in his blessed name. Amen. Here is our Lord dealing with a man with probably the most dreaded disease of the day, leprosy. He came to Christ for help. Mark shows how this leper came to Christ and adds a few things that happened that Matthew overlooked. Matthew records the coming of this man after the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps he heard the Lord speak the sermon. He may have been way back on the edge of the crowd down the hill, for he could not mingle among men with his disease. Maybe he heard Jesus speak as one who has authority, as it says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and believed that he was sent from God and he could help him. He believed something about Jesus, that's why he came. We do not know the extent of his leprosy. It could have been in beginning form. It could have been very advanced. He could still move, which some cannot. And he could still talk, which many could not. But he was leprous. He was unclean. And he was an outcast from all others. He came to the only one he hoped might receive him as he was. The lesson, I believe, in this healing of the leper is to see how one may come to Jesus Christ and find the attitude of Jesus Christ toward those who came. Mark adds that he had compassion upon the man. Matthew left that out. Mark added it because he wanted us to understand that Jesus Christ has compassion. And so we need to look at this passage of the leper as an example for us who desire to come to Jesus Christ and be received, whatever our condition is. There are three things in this passage that I want to mention this morning. You need to see, first of all, how the leper himself came to Christ. What did he do? What did he not do? You need to see how Christ responded to the leper. And third, you need to see what Christ required of the man that he had healed. So first of all, look how the leper came to Christ. There are four characteristics that may be seen in the text this morning. And the first one is that he came in humility. He knew who he was, and he knew who Christ was. He knew himself to be unclean. I have never seen leprosy firsthand, but I have seen documentaries about it. And it usually begins with a little white pinprick on the skin, sometimes on the nose or the hand. The nose thickens and swells. The ears thicken. Tumors begin to appear on the limbs. And as it progresses, it causes the limbs to start to rot and decay. Fingers and toes fall off. Hands and feet fall off. And if the person lives, arms and legs fall off. It is one of the most consuming and terrible diseases that has ever entered the human race. And not only is it harmful and hurtful, in Old Testament Israel it was considered unclean. One could not worship God if he had leprosy. until he had someone offer sacrifice and perhaps was healed. And then he had to come to the priest and offer two doves upon the altar to be declared ceremoniously unclean by sacrifice. And then he could worship God again. Leprosy is often associated with the sinful condition of man. For when Miriam, the sister of Moses, sinned against God, she was struck with leprosy. The leper had to go before the people in Israel. Every time he turned a corner down a street, and if he still had a voice, cry, "Unclean, unclean." Because no one could come near him. His family could not. His friends could not. He was a total outcast from society. You think you feel rejected? He was unclean. He knew who he was. He also knew who Christ was. He came falling on his knees before him. And that's the word for worship in the scripture. Falling toward. He came and worshiped him. He knew something about him and he cried out, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He recognized Jesus Christ as divine and called him Lord. He understood something about his authority over sickness and disease. He had heard of the healings that our Lord had performed throughout Galilee. He had nothing to lose in throwing himself before Christ for mercy, and he came humbly, begging for mercy. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Matthew Henry said, "Sin is the leprosy of the soul. It began small in the garden. It ended up big." If you and I would come to Christ, it must be in humility, as a leprous man. Sin is like leprosy. It begins as a pinpoint upon the soul, and it begins to spread and infect the whole soul. Some of you know how anger and pride and stubbornness and envy and discontent and bitterness begins like a little pinprick, and soon it consumes your thoughts and leads from one sin to another and affects the tone of your voice and the use of your tongue. Some of you know how lust and covetousness and discontent, beginning in a little point in your heart, suddenly can fill your thoughts and your attitudes and hinder your prayers and your fellowship with others. Sin is the leprosy of the soul. Jesus said, "Let me tell you what murder is. It is being sinfully angry in your heart. It is demeaning another, using condemning words, 'You fool,' 'Raca.' Hating in the heart is murder of another." And when the pinprick of leprosy begins, it ends in the transgression of God's laws. If you and I would approach a God who is perfect and hates sin for help, it must be with humility. You must know who you are, and you must know who He is. He's a God who is so good, through and through, that He cannot look upon sin. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a vision of God. And Isaiah was the best God had in that day. The best. And in Isaiah 6, it says that he saw God lifted up and exalted upon the throne. And the cherubim and the seraphim were flying around singing, "Holy, holy, holy." When Isaiah saw how good and perfect and thoroughly righteous God is, he fell on his face. And the first words that fell from his lips, the best man God had upon the earth, was this: "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." You may not think your sins are so bad, but you aren't the judge. God is. The things that seem small to you and pinpricks on the soul, God knows where they lead. You and I must come to God as we are. For sin is the leprosy of the soul. It needs cleansing. It needs healing. Have you ever felt humbled for your sins? Ashamed that you hated someone else? Ashamed that you would look upon a man or a woman to lust for them in your heart? Realizing God didn't make you to be that way or to use them selfishly that way. Have you ever been ashamed because of the lie and deceit that came out from your tongue in order to impress someone? Have you seen it as God sees it, a God who is truth, a God who is kind, a God who is good sees it? Sin is the leprosy of the soul. If you wish to be cleansed, you must come to God as you are. He came to Christ humbly and urgently. Mark 1, when it says beseeching him, really can be translated continually calling toward him. He didn't come up to Jesus into his presence and say, "Excuse me, could we talk a minute?" He saw him from afar. And as he came crawling or walking or running or whatever he could do, he was continually calling toward him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." He was continually calling toward him. He was urgently coming. He was getting to him any way he could. Falling on his knees when he came before him to worship him, he was urgent in his need. Are you urgent in your need of Christ? Of cleansing from sin, of help to overcome the sins that you know as well as you're sitting here that God disapproves of in your life. Are you urgent to deal with them? There are many who readily admit that they're sinners and believe that Christ is Lord with their lips. Sure, everybody's a sinner, including me. Sure, I need a Savior. But do you have the urgency of a leper who has been so consumed with disease and death that he has to be freed from it or die? Have you seen what sin has really done to you and to your family and to your friends and to God? If you want to know what God thinks of sin, then you need to look at a cross on a hill about 2,000 years ago. And see what the sinless, perfect, good, and kind Son of God put himself through willingly. And what he had to go through to pay the price due to one of your transgressions. God grieves over sin. And the sad thing is that many of us do not. Have you come urgently to Christ? You run to your doctor when you're sick. You run to your banker when you're poor. You run to your friend or pastor when you need advice. But do you run to Christ when you sin? Do you run to Christ in the midst of strong temptation to sin? Do you get there any way you can? Many talk like they're lepers, but they seek Christ like they're Pharisees. Sure, I'm a sinner. Isn't everybody? But the man who in the temple could not even look upon God, but beat his breast and cried out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," is the one who found mercy before God. We must come urgently to Christ. You young people, in all love and kindness, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a better day to come to Christ? David said, "Today is the day of salvation. You don't know if you'll have another day." You may die in a car wreck tomorrow. You don't have another day. You only have today. What are you waiting for? You're waiting to get out from the home of your parents and live the kind of life you secretly want to live, and then one day you'll think about it. You don't have tomorrow. God's mercy is only for today. Nothing hinders you in coming to Christ but your unwillingness to come. Nothing hinders you from finding mercy and forgiveness but your unwillingness to ask and believe that it is received. There is no tomorrow. There is only today. There's nowhere else to go. What are you going to do? If Christ is risen, there is nowhere else to go. There is nothing other to do than to come to Him and to repent of sin and believe that He is able to save you. And that is enough. Committing your life to follow Him. Come today, urgently. Come in faith, thirdly. He said, if you're willing, you are able, or you have the power, dunamis, dynamite. You are able to make me clean. You can do anything to me, Lord, that you want to do to me. See, some of us don't want to believe Jesus will forgive us or help us or change us. We don't really believe He can do it. I know myself. I'm the person that can't be different. Everybody else can be different, but not me. That is unbelief. Jesus Christ can invade your heart and your mind. He can make you love Him. He can make you follow Him. And He can make you useful for His kingdom and His glory. And He can take some of the personal desires that you have right now that you think are the most important things in your life and suddenly awaken and see that they are nothing compared to knowing Him and following Him and committing your life to serve Him in this world. He can deal with you. you aren't too big for him. You have to come in faith, believing that he is able to help you. For he that comes to God must believe not only that he is, but that he is the rewarder of them that seek him. It's not enough to believe God exists. You must believe that when you come to him for help and mercy, and cry out to him for forgiveness and strength, that he is willing and able to help you. He is the rewarder of them that seek him. If you have come to Christ for mercy and help and you did not believe he gave it, that's unbelief. He doesn't do that. He said, "The one that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." And you must believe that when you come so that you can be sure you've been welcomed. How simple the gospel is. Are you a sinner that needs mercy? Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a promise to be received and lived upon. It is yours if you believe it. You must come in faith. The leper came to Christ believing that our Lord is able to reward, to cleanse those who seek him and to heal him. And you must believe that Christ has power on earth and in heaven to forgive sins, to change your heart, to make you the person you should be. Do you believe there is any guilt so great that his precious blood cannot atone for it and blot it out from God's anger? Do you believe there is any corrupt sin or thought that you've had that cannot be subdued in your heart and life by the risen Lord Jesus Christ? If you have doubts of his power and of his ability to help you when you come, you will never find what he can give. Look at the scriptures and see how he healed the sick and raised the dead. Look into the empty tomb and see what he did. And then look at his promises to lepers and sinners. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the only way you can know that he receives you, that he forgives you, that he has granted eternal life to you, that he will keep you from falling and be with you every moment of the day in between. Because he's promised he would. It is in believing that we are saved, that we are changed, that we're transformed to believe in a God who will never forsake us. You must come humbly and urgently and in faith to Jesus Christ. You must come believing not just that he can do it for others, but that his promises and his offer of help are for you. Y-O-U. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean, said the leper. And you must come in submission to Christ as well. You'll notice how he came. He was desperate. He needed help. And he came with no demands on Christ. I'll follow you if you will heal my wife. I'll follow you if you will solve my business problems. I'll follow you if you straighten out things in my life that I want straightened out my way. There were no demands. This man was helpless. There was nothing before him but death and shame. He had no demands to put upon Christ. He simply wanted life. And he found it. But he came calling as he came. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And when he got to Christ, he fell down on his knees and he worshiped him as Lord. On his terms, whatever you want to do with me, do it. That's what becoming a Christian means. It isn't just a contract to get forgiveness. It's a submission of the heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, to love him, and to keep his commandments, and to live a life that's useful in the earth for him, not necessarily comfortable for you. For he is Lord whether you believe in him or not. Submission was upon his mind. Christ owes you and me nothing for our sins except judgment and condemnation. But he opens his great arms to sinners who are leprous and dying and says, "Come unto me." Do you know of one instance in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, where Jesus refused to help someone who was desperate for help? I don't. Now, the rich young ruler came and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, basically, "You can't do anything. And let me prove it to you. Go sell all your possessions and give to the poor." The young man went away sad because he had much possessions. Jesus didn't turn him away. He turned himself away. The harlot came. This woman who had lived her life in sin, giving herself to men for money, and sometimes for nothing. She came, she could not look at him. But she came with perfume to anoint him, and her tears flowed from her eyes at his feet in shame for what she had done against God and how she had damaged others' lives. And her tears shed upon his feet and washed his feet. She wiped off her tears with her hair and anointed him with perfume. She could not even talk. Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. Go into peace." He never turned away a soul. Do you think you have come to Christ and he's turned you away? That is not true. I don't care who you are or how many times you think you've come. It's not true. If you come to Christ as you are today, as a sinner who needs a Savior, bowing to him as Lord for the rest of your life, he is yours today. And you are commanded to believe it in the Bible and accept it as your own. And turn from self to him and follow him today. You don't have to get yourself ready. You don't have to be repentant enough. You just have to fall as a sinner who is helpless and needs a Savior. And believe his promises to receive you. And from this day forward to follow him. Today. Nothing is holding you back but your own unbelief from his promises and invitations to come. Come to me. All you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't matter if you're a leper or a harlot or a murderer like David and an adulterer or a persecutor of God's people and a murderer probably like Paul. You can come to him as you are, humbly, urgently, faithfully, and submissively. and you will hear these words from Jesus Christ. I am willing. Be ye cleansed. There has never been a kinder heart on the face of this earth to receive people who have sinned against him than Jesus Christ. Think of your attitude toward those who have sinned against you. They have hurt you, they've lied to you, they've deceived you, they've betrayed you. You don't even want to be around them. Do you not understand that every sin that was committed in the gospel pages, whether a harlot or a drunkard, were committed by those who sinned against Jesus himself, who made them in their mother's womb? And here they come down the road. Have mercy, O Lord. Forgive me, O Lord. He had the right to be more offended than you've ever been offended by anyone who has hurt you. Every murder is against Christ. Every adultery is against Christ. Every lie is against Christ. Every discontented murmur is against Jesus Christ. And here he stands. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will not cast out. He is more willing to receive you than you are to receive any person who's ever sinned against you. He is more willing to receive you than you are to come. I am willing, he said. Be ye cleansed. That's how he responded to the leper. He was moved with compassion. And that word compassion in the Bible means bowels. That's what it means. It means the intestines. It means the inner organs of the body. It means in the very deepest root of his soul that when he looked upon this man whose flesh was being eaten, had nothing but death before him, he had no friends, was rejected of men and despised by his very presence and look, Jesus looked upon this man, and his inward soul was moved with compassion for his condition. Do you think Christ has no compassion for you? Our Lord Jesus Christ is grieved over sin and what it's done to the souls of men and to the universe. Will he have no mercy upon you if you come seeking it? When the 4,000 were following him without food, he looked upon them and felt compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he fed them miraculously. When he saw this man with leprosy, he felt compassion and he healed them. Is there no compassion left in the heart of Jesus Christ? Has he used it all up and you're such a special case that he has none for you? Have you sinned so far away from God and run so far in your thoughts and actions and sinned so much that he does not care for you? You who have been raised on the gospel in this assembly, and you've sinned against the light of the gospel that you've had. Does that mean that he's run out of compassion for you? You may have run down the path of lying and drunkenness and adultery, or even a false confession of Jesus Christ. But I say to you, that the perfect life of Jesus Christ is so bright and good that his righteousness can cover the most wicked heart in this room and all of them put together. His death on the cross is so powerful and so atoning before God and covers the sins of men so thoroughly and blots them out before God the Father's eyes that God can treat you as if you have never cracked the book of sin in your life. That's the gospel that we believe. A God of mercy and grace, of compassion. You can't find a harlot or a thief or a murderer or an adulterer or a broken-hearted sinner in the Bible who came to Jesus Christ and wasn't helped, and he can help you. He stretched out his hand to this leper, something nobody else would do. One of the sad things for me is when I have to go into a hospital room to bring the Word of God to a man, and I have to put on gloves and a mask to protect myself from disease. I hate that. But I don't have the power of Jesus Christ. And he could touch the leper and not be infected with his disease. And he touched him. He can have fellowship with lepers and harlots and adulterers and murderers and drunks who come to him. Is there no compassion left? You know what they said about Jesus? This man eats and drinks with sinners. I like that. That keeps me going. And it is the hope of all who have seen themselves fall short of the glory of God. Jesus not only touched the leper, but on the cross he became a spiritual leper. If sin is the leprosy of the soul, then on the cross he became the leper. He took our sins upon himself when he was clean to begin with. And just as the Old Testament leper, when he was cleansed, had to come and offer sacrifices to doves and be declared ceremonially clean by the priest, our Lord Jesus Christ died as the sacrifice upon the cross that we might be cleansed. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. And why did he do that? That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his stripes we are healed. He did not come to heal lepers so that they can go out and catch diseases again. He came to cleanse them from their sins so that they could go out and lead whole, pure lives, healthy lives again. They could shake hands with their friends again. They could love their wives again. They could hold their children again and be different. Our Lord Jesus Christ takes lepers and he makes them whole. Now notice what Christ required of the man. It says in verse 43 that he sternly warned him or strictly charged him and immediately sent him away and said to him, "Go to the priest." And as I looked at that verse, I wondered, what did Jesus sternly warn this man that he had just healed about? What did he strictly charge him with? We know that he told the man to keep quiet and obey the law of Moses and go and offer sacrifices to the priest down at the temple. First thing, that's what he was to do. So our Lord commanded the man to bear witness. But some have looked at that warning and thought it was the same kind of warning that he gave to the blind man whom he had healed in John 5:14. Do not sin anymore, that nothing worse may befall you. Your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. How do you think that leper felt about Jesus Christ? Do you think that he thought Jesus was kind? Do you think he thought Jesus was compassionate and loving? Do you think he thought Jesus was powerful and worthy to be loved and served the rest of his days? Of course you think that. Because if you were the leper, you would never get over the doctor that healed you. And if you're a sinner, you just can't get over the Savior that saved you. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. You know what this leper did? There's some debate about this, but it appears this way. He disobeyed Jesus. Right out from being healed and cleansed, and Jesus strictly warned him and commanded him to go to the priest in Jerusalem, this man had the gall to go out and disobey Jesus Christ. You know what that disobedience was? He could not keep quiet about the loving Son of God who had cleansed him from leprosy. He couldn't go through villages down to Jerusalem without telling the people on the It came from within him. He could not help but live a life of love and obedience to the Son of God and witness to others what he had done for them. It doesn't say he was a public speaker. It doesn't say he was mighty in word and deed. It just says that he told others what Christ did for him. And it was spread like wildfire to the point that Jesus could no longer go into the cities but had to stay out in the country like we are. And people came from everywhere to hear of him. Do you consider yourself a leper? That your sins really have offended God? Then you need a Savior. And if you will come to Him, He will not cast you out. He will say, I am willing. Be ye cleansed. And if you have been cleansed by the blood of Christ and had mercy, found mercy from Him, what difference has it made in your life on a daily basis? Do you love Him? Do you think of Him? Before you go out the door, do you think of His commands and His promises and say, I must live upon them. He is worthy to be loved and followed. Christians do things like that because they never get over being cleansed. Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I'm willing. Be ye cleansed. Go and sin no more. Come to Christ. Let us pray.